osteoporosis. And when they get done with their training and they're out there in practice, they don't change those belief systems very easily.
It makes me angry sometimes. And then I think about all the millions of people out there that are being put on statins, perhaps unnecessarily, in the name of prevention. And maybe we're barking up the wrong tree here.
Pharmaceutical companies, like any other business, are always looking for new markets. More recently, by suggesting that children as young as 9 should be screened for high cholesterol. The costs associated with cholesterol medications are not confined to the cost of the drugs themselves and the health costs associated with the adverse effects, but also the lost opportunity to tackle the real causes of heart disease.
What we've done is we've diverted the public's attention, we've diverted physicians' attention by creating these industry-dominated guidelines that cause physicians to pay attention to their patients' cholesterol levels instead of how they're living their lives.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tricepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tricepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. It's a new week, and we're getting off to a new start with the great discussion during the first hour. We're going to be talking with Dr. Tina Licht about how early exposure to the microbiome by infants is affecting infants and possibly even affecting the possibilities of obesity later on in life. Before we get started with that, I just want to mention a couple things real quick. Don't forget about the Superhuman Radio Network app. You can get it both at Google Play and the Apple Store. So people are saying, hey, I don't go to Facebook. I can't join in any of the contests you have going on. Like right now we have a contest. If you like our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Supreme Radio Network, you're entered to win 4 boxes of Quest protein bars. Those will be given away this Friday on Casual Friday. If you've already liked the page, you're already entered. If you haven't liked the page yet, get there and like it. But there's people who say, hey, we're not on Facebook. How do we take part in some of these fun giveaways? Well, download the app for your iPhone, your Android, or your iPad today. We'll be doing a giveaway for a free set, $600 pair of PowerBlock dumbbells in the very, very near future. The only way you'll be able to enter is if you're using the app. So check that out. Okay, let's get underway. Let's go ahead and bring Dr. Tina Licht on the line with us. How you doing, Dr. Licht? Oh, hold on. No, hit that button again and open her mic. There we go. I'm in the studio with Elliot today. How you doing, Dr. Licht?
Fine, thanks.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Okay, so we want to talk about your study, Establishment of Intestinal Microbiota During Early Life. First of all, explain to the audience how the study was designed.
Well, this was a collaboration between MDs and microbiologists, and actually it was started several years ago as some of the doctors involved, they followed this this group of children for more than 3 years, and the primary aim of the study was to address different factors, especially dietary factors, on the development and health and well-being of Danish children. So all of these 330 children were recruited and then called in during this period until they were 36 months old and sampled for a lot of different things, including physiological factors. Then after the study had been completed, they had also obtained, at 3 time points, they had obtained fecal samples from these kids. And then they came looking for us, microbiologists. I'm a microbiologist, and asked if we could do some kind of analysis to address how the microbiota is established during early childhood, because there's been quite few studies on that area so far. And it's becoming more and more clear that the microbiota that we have, at least as adults, also affect our health and well-being.
Yes, absolutely. And this is a continuation of an ongoing discussion on this show. We're constantly talking about the gut microbiota. We realize that this is probably a new frontier for medicine to better understand this 4.5 pounds of microbes that live inside of us and actually make up the immune system. And I remember several years ago talking to a scientist on the show, and we were discussing the fact that babies that are delivered via cesarean section, C-section, tend to forego some of the early introduction of microbes that babies that are delivered vaginally do get from their mom. Were any of the babies in the study identified as being C-section babies?
Yes, but there were not enough of them to give any statistical significance in this part of the study. But you're absolutely right. I mean, there are studies that are addressing this directly, other studies than ours, and it does have an impact.
Okay.
And it also does impact their risk of things like asthma.
Okay. The second thing that influences the microbiome of a baby then after being delivered vaginally versus C-section is whether or not the mother breastfeeds. And, you know, here in the United States, the mainstream orthodoxy tends to try to make parents believe that formula is a better alternative than breast milk, which is nonsense. What contributions of breastfeeding affect the establishment of microbes in the baby's gut?
Well, there's a very, very special composition of carbohydrates present in breast milk. And those carbohydrates have the quality that they cannot be digested in our stomach by the digestive enzymes of our own body. So they actually go down into the gut where they can only be digested by the bacteria present there. And through evolution, it's very clear that the bifidobacteria that are specialized in colonizing young children, that they are also very, very specialized in breaking down those particular carbohydrates that are present in human milk, not in cow's milk or milk from any other animal. But they're developed, you know, through thousands of years in interplay with the human milk. And at the same time, we know that those kind of bifidobacteria are the bacteria that will guide our immune system to develop in a balanced and healthy way.
There was a...
So I definitely agree that, I mean, of course, if you have a good reason not to breastfeed, it's not like it's the end of the world. You can still use formula and have a perfectly healthy baby. But if you have the ability to breastfeed, it's definitely preventive for later immune disorders such as allergies.
There was a study published recently that we interviewed the scientist, the lead author, talking about a particular form of probiotic that is found in mother's milk almost exclusively, called Lactobacillus reuteri, R-U-E-T-E-R-I. I don't know if I'm spelling it or pronouncing it right, but when it was introduced into older rats of water, they had remarkable changes in physiology and health. What about the fact that there are resident, maybe even undiscovered, forms of microbes in mother's milk that play a role in how the baby develops and potential endpoints in disease states later on in life?
Well, I'm not really sure that there are that many bacteria present in the milk. That's a bit in the periphery of my knowledge. But definitely the baby will acquire these lactic acid bacteria from the skin of the mother and from the surroundings and from the vagina on through birth. And all of those colonizations are important, are beneficial for the baby.
Okay.
So, and definitely the intake of milk will also promote the ability of these lactic acid bacteria to establish.
Okay. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to continue this discussion. We're talking with Dr. Tina Licht. We're talking about the establishment of intestinal microbiota in early life and its effects on obesity and even possibly disease. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. This is one of those things I think it's going to be 30 years from now, and people are going to go, oh, damn, this didn't work out right.
He's serving up an all-you-can-eat buffet of brain food.
It's gotten worse for us who are overweight because we're now paying our fair share for things that we didn't have to before.
Get it while it's hot.
The fact that there's only 50% of the population is obese, that means the other 50% is doing something different.
You're listening to your daily dose of wisdom. Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. KetoForce is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of KetoForce and hit it hard. Go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Taking vitamin D without taking the MK7 form of K2 can lead to unwanted tissue calcification. A growing body of evidence shows cardiovascular and bone benefits from taking vitamin D and K2 together. Getting MK7 from the diet is virtually impossible. Doctor-formulated Leaner Living's K2 plus D3 product is free of soybean oil and GMOs. Blended into a potent olive oil base that is the dynamic duo of fat-soluble vitamins. Save 10% off when you use the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Leaner Living banner ad today.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Bio Age banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Tina Licht. We're talking about the establishment of intestinal microbiota during early life. This is a longitudinal study. It was performed by the Technical University of Denmark and National Food Institute of Denmark, University of Copenhagen. And, okay, so Dr. Licht, talk a little bit about now the changes in the gut microbiota that occurred when these children were weaned off of breast milk.
Well, what we saw was that then the part of the bacterial of the microbiota that is optimized to utilize breast milk was replaced by a complexity of other bacteria. So gradually, the microbiota gets to look more and more like that of an adult,
mm-hmm.
Coming from a very simple, low diversity type microbiota, which is characterized by these lactobacilli and bifidobacteria that are present in the very young children. Those are then replaced by other groups of bacteria that can degrade complex carbohydrates and other compounds of adult foods.
So this sheds some light on one of the questions that we've had on the show for a long time, whether the diet influences the microbiota or the microbiota influences a person's ability to digest foods. There's obviously an interplay there, but it looks like the diet is the first step in influencing the change in the landscape. Is that clear?
Yeah, I mean, as long as we're talking about this period in life, early childhood, I think that the switch from breastfeeding to complementary food to adult food is probably the largest change in dietary habit that any human will ever be able to experience, right? And then also there is a window of opportunity, so to say, for manipulations or things that affect the microbiota, because the ecosystem is not yet fully populated. As soon as we get into adulthood, we have a complexity of bacteria living there, and they are all sort of filling out their own ecological niche. So any later manipulation will probably not have an impact as large as we see it in childhood. That doesn't mean that it won't have an impact, but we can't make changes of this majority later in life.
And that's because the gut is pretty much a clean slate at that point, right? It's it's kind of like the initial seeding of first dirt of new dirt.
Exactly. When we are born, we don't have this complexity of bacteria in the gut that we acquire later.
Now, so these changes are not necessarily bad. These changes are necessary in order for the child to make the transition from breast milk to foods.
Yes, and also our first encounter with a complexity of microbes, there's a lot of evidence coming up that's actually quite essential for our ability to develop a healthy and functioning immune system. I think at least in Denmark, there's been a tendency that we want to make everything completely sterile around a small child, that we want to, mm-hmm.
It's like that here in the United States, too.
we want to disinfect everything around the baby. And, of course, we shouldn't expose little children to pathogenic organisms. But that being said, it's also healthy for the baby to encounter a variety of different organisms that it meets from people's hands and the mother's skin and so forth. It's,
right.
It's not a good idea to try to keep every bacterium away from a small baby.
Now, were you able to ascertain different populations of microbes in the stomachs of babies based on the foods that their parents transitioned them to? For instance, children that were getting more cereal grains versus maybe children that were getting more pureed vegetables, for instance.
No, we didn't. We do have a lot of data on their nutritional patterns. It was recorded. And we try to look for correlations between specific types of diets and occurrence of specific microbes. But we didn't get statistical significance on those. This was a cohort of children. There was no intervention. It was just, questionnaires about
right.
diet that were filled in. And I think that if one would do like a controlled intervention with very big differences between diet, you would probably be able to see something, but not in this study, because I guess there are not that big variations in what parents choose to feed their babies at this age.
The reason I ask that is because there's a growing body of research out there in the area of gut microbes that apparently, for a variety of different reasons, whether it be climate, or food sources, that a shift mm-hmm. where the two phyla's Firmicutes are elevated and Bacteroidetes are reduced, seems to cause a propensity or a shift to a higher probability of obesity. Were you able to identify these classes of microbes in the stool samples?
Oh yeah, we were, but we didn't. We were not able to correlate their occurrence to specific dietary patterns at this age. I'm just looking into the
data
here, but I think one of the key questions, I'm familiar with this Firmicutes Bacteroidetes balance that you're referring to. I think one of the key questions is whether this is a cause or an effect and I think, I mean, if we have different dietary patterns, it definitely will affect our body weight, and it will also affect our microbiota. And that's not the same as saying that the microbiota directly affects our body weight. That being said, there are evidence that the capacity of the microbiota to harvest energy can mean something, and also that the composition of the microbiota means something for the way that our immune system reacts, which makes us more or less prone to lifestyle diseases that are also related to obesity. But I think it's really the big challenge here is to sort of separate what part of this is actually a cause of problems in humans and what is just something that we see that is co-varying with other factors.
Now, in the research, it said 30% of the individual shifted the enterotypes between 18 and 36 months. What about the other 70%?
Well, this is the enterotypes. That's sort of a different thing. That's within this phylum called Bacteroidetes.
Right.
There are like two predominant groups called either Bacteroides or Prevotella, and depending on your balance between those two, new data suggests that you can actually group people according to some sort of overall pattern in their microbial composition. And what our study showed was that between the age up until 3 years, we still have, between 18 and 36 months, we still see that some of these kids are flipping back and forth between these types more than we've seen for adults. We know that adults are actually quite stably staying with one of these, at least in the studies that we've done here. It seems that unless you have a major dietary shift or maybe antibiotic treatment or something, that you're very likely to retain the same enterotype. But we saw that for the kids, they switch back and forth in this window of time more than we've seen for adults.
God, I'm sorry.
The conclusion on that is that the kids are not, even though their microbiota looks very much like an adult microbiota when they're past 2 years old, we still see that it's probably not as stably established as it will be when you're 25 or so.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Interesting.
Am I getting it? Are you getting the point?
Yeah, absolutely. talk a little bit about the... I know that when babies are given formula as opposed to breast milk, the formula tends to create a greater sense of satiety, and the babies tend to put on body weight faster, which I have to believe is similar to that when you wean a baby to whole foods and start to feed them foods, that they tend to their body mass tends to grow much faster than if they were just continued to be given breast milk for let's say the first year or two. Is that a fair assumption?
Yeah, I mean, I should say I'm not a nutritional expert. I'm a microbiologist,
right.
but I think that they will be able to simply ingest more calories when they switch away from breast milk.
Well, the what I'm getting at here is that there's a in the paper that I have in front of me, it talks about Clostridium leptum and Eubacterium haleae, is that, am I pronouncing it right? Halai?
Yeah.
That somehow they influence short-chain fatty acid production, right?
Yes.
Okay.
They produce a short-chain fatty acid, especially called butyrate, which is known to be good for the intestinal health.
Okay. But also short-chain...
But also to contribute to caloric value. I mean, so it's food for the intestinal cells, and it will constitute a part of the calories that we can extract from dietary fibers that we eat, but it will also contribute to a healthy inner wall.
Intestinal lining, but also short chain fatty acids tend to be readily available as a source of energy, a substrate for energy as well.
Mm-hmm.
We know that long chain fatty acids tend to be metabolized in the liver and converted to fat first before they can be used as a source of energy. But short chain fatty acids, as we're learning about things like medium chain triglycerides and so on, they tend to be readily available as a form of energy, which would be beneficial if your body is producing more short chain fatty acids from the foods that you're eating as opposed to long chain. Then chances are there's a lot less fat storage going on.
Yeah, that's a little bit outside of my knowledge, but it's right, and it's also right that the short chain fatty acids will help balancing the preceding immune response. And I mean, what we saw about these particular two bacterial groups was that there was a positive correlation between the body, the BMI index between 9 and 8 months. If that was increasing, then these two bacteria were also increasing or vice versa. Whether they are cause or effect of each other, we can't say anything about that, but we can see that they correlated. And I mean, if you want me to sort of make any conclusions or assumptions about risk of obesity, I think that's very hard to do based on that. And I think that there's been a tendency in this field of research to say that if your microbiota has a good capacity to harvest energy from the food, then that's a bad thing. And I mean, if you look at this in an evolutionary perspective, from a human being, it can never be a bad thing to be good at harvesting energy from fibers from the diet that you eat. So I think we should be very careful about calling the microbiota good or bad, you know.
Yeah. And I love, and you know, we are very, very deep in evolutionary perspective of health here. And so I'm glad that you're talking about this, because it's important that, you know, there's a large growing body of research out there that is now showing that many of these, low-grade inflammatory autoimmune disorders begin with a disrupted microbiome in the gut that is unable to completely aid in digesting and breaking down foods in the diet, so that and combine that with the potential for leaky linings of the gut and the intestines for some of these undigested molecules to then be taken up by the bloodstream, and the immune system sees them as invaders. And so, you know, I think that it's important to understand that an efficient microbiome is the best thing that you can have. And if it does a better job, that's a good thing. We don't want a microbiome that doesn't do a good job because we want to lose weight. Losing weight in and of itself is not a good thing. There's lots of people with life-threatening diseases that undergo a lot of weight loss very rapidly. That's not good. So my problem is that today we are so focused on our effect, the gravitational effect on our body and the scale, that we don't take into account that not all weight loss is a good thing. So
no, and I mean, it depends on the cause and the context of the weight loss. And I think that I mean, if you see the big picture of what the microbiota is doing, then it's good to have a microbiota that that digests carbohydrates, that turns complex fibers, ingestible fibers, into short-chain fatty acids.
Right.
The end result of that process is much more healthy for us than a microbiota that breaks down proteins, because the products of protein breakdown is often harmful to the gut. So the more we can feed our microbiota with indigestible fibers from onions and leek and
right. Prebiotics, sort of, yeah, prebiotic fibers, right?
Yeah, yes. The more we eat of that, the more we switch the activity of the microbiota in a healthy direction.
That's exciting.
And the more the microbiota will be optimized to degrading these fibers, and of course that will result in extraction of more energy from such fibers. But that's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, I agree. Okay, here we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with more. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio.
He's exposing the man behind the curtain in the organic discussion.
Whole Foods is getting prepared for this onslaught of new customers by finding ways to fool them into buying things that aren't organic, thinking that they are, which is the way they led into the industry back in the day when people remember Whole Foods. There were people that are going in there and going, oh, well, this is all organic. I bought it at Whole Foods. And, oh, no. They do sell conventional stuff there. They do? Yeah.
Exposing the myths in our grocery stores.
And then Whole Foods started labeling it more clearly what was organic and what was conventional. But there was a whole period of time where people were buying what they thought was organic when it wasn't. And they were charging more. Whole Foods prices was of conventionally grown produce. Similar price to what other stores were selling organic, and that made it even more confusing for the consumer. They thought, well, how could it be? I just paid $3.45 for a pound of apples. That's what that store sells organic. You're telling me I bought conventional apples? Yep, you did.
Carl Lenore on Superhuman Radio.
It's new, it's cutting edge, and it's custom made to get you to Gainesville. The Blueprint Meteoric is here. Meteoric is the final frontier for drug-free athletes. Includes brand new breakthrough information about triphasic energy system training and macronutrient cycling. Specifically designed to transform your physique and record time. For a limited time, get the Blueprint Meteoric for free, along with the legendary add 1 inch to your upper arms in a single workout when you subscribe to the Blueprint Bulletin. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Blueprint banner ad. At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
The key to getting lean and staying lean is insulin control. Wild swings in blood sugar create body fat. How would you like to be able to ensure that more of your meals feed muscle and not fat? Now you can with GlycoSolve. GlycoSolve contains the most potent berberine on the market. It will shuttle glucose to muscle, not fat. Made in the USA in a GMP certified facility. Save 10% when you use the coupon code SHR. Go to leanerliving.com today.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
In a world of advanced bodybuilding supplementation, the numbers don't lie. Fact, Iron Mag Lads is among the fastest growing hardcore supplement companies in the world. Fact, when it comes to no-nonsense, cutting-edge products, nobody delivers results like Iron Mag Labs. Fact, the Iron Mag Labs line of innovative formulation has set a new industry standard with products that are helping world-class bodybuilders reach levels they never thought possible. Iron Mag Labs is a proud supporter of bodybuilders everywhere. Discover the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements on the market. Visit IronMagLabs.com today.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Oops. I did it again, baby.
Yeah.
The ladies are going to love you.
Welcome back. Okay, we're talking with Dr. Tina Licht. We're talking about infant exposure to the varying microbes in their gut. What does it mean? There's not a lot we can extrapolate from this at this point in time. Is that right, Dr. Licht?
Well, I mean,
let me rephrase that. That's unfair to you. Everybody's looking for why childhood obesity is occurring today, and we know why childhood obesity is occurring. Children are sedentary. They're not allowed to be children any longer. They're consuming way too much foods that are high in starches and sugars and cereal grains. But nonetheless, scientists are out there being demanded to come up with alternative ways of treating childhood obesity. And obviously the microbiome of the stomach is being discussed for adults. And so here we are talking about it for children as well, right?
Yes, you could put it that way, but yeah, I think that it's not. I mean, the microbiota is definitely to be considered as a part of our body, but it's probably not the main way to go to solve the problem of obesity.
I agree.
It does contribute, and it does matter for our health and our risk of various diseases. So it's definitely a good idea to try to acquire and maintain a healthy microbiota, but it's probably, at least in my view, not the way that we will solve obesity issues.
I agree with you 100%. Now let's talk about something else that seems really interesting to me, and that is this window of opportunity. So as the baby is being weaned off of breast milk and solid foods are being introduced, I feel like there's a window of opportunity for parents to do something to help promote. And I know there's not good and bad, but to help promote a microbiome that is better suited for today's environment, let's say. Am I wrong about that, or do we not have a really unique opportunity here?
Well, I guess to some extent you're right. And even if you can start the window earlier than that, because just right from birth, the opportunity is to help establish the bacteria that are important at that age, primarily through breastfeeding and also through avoiding excessive disinfection of the surroundings.
So would you say?
So that's sort of the first thing. And then when you start moving away from breastfeeding and introducing other types of feed, then food, then I guess that you should just consider giving your child healthy food.
Here's the challenge with that. And that was my question. I mean, you know, it sounds to me like you should be feeding your child more leeks, more onions and things that have a prebiotic nature. But the problem with this whole ubiquitous term of healthy food, well, right now, people think that genetically modified corn and grain is healthy. And grain and cereal grains in general are now starting to come under scrutiny, and we're identifying that, hey, maybe they're not heart healthy. Maybe they are not as healthy as we thought they were, and we need to rethink this. So I think telling parents, well, just feed the child healthy food is a dangerous edict because it's so broad of a statement that people think that processed foods are healthy. Well, this is healthy, you know. It has a label on it from the American Heart Association.
I think there's a big difference between processed food and genetically modified grain. I don't know what you're getting at. Why would genetically modified grain be less healthy than?
Well, there's a lot of evidence right now that genetically modified grains, because of the herbicides that they are designed to be resistant to, actually do exactly that. They destroy the microbes in the stomach. That's how they work. They destroy the microbes in the soil as well. And so there's a lot of good research now being brought to the forefront that's saying, hey, we see that, say, for instance, Roundup Ready corn, because of the BT organism that it's created with, and the combination of the herbicides, it's destroying the microbes in people's stomach. And some people would think that corn is healthy.
Well, I'm not. That's outside of my area, and also in Denmark and most of Europe, we don't have genetically modified crops to
right.
the same extent as you guys do over there. So,
right.
so I wouldn't have any strong opinions on that. But in any case, I mean, I would argue that it's healthy to. I mean, to don't live on a diet consisting of sugar and fat, and don't let your child live on that either.
Yeah.
I guess that would be the first advice, which is not really new, but still valid.
Yeah. No, I agree. Okay, so what do you hope clinicians and lay people take away from your research?
Well, I hope to contribute to our understanding of how the microbiota is established. And in the long term, that might lead to new strategies for helping a healthy microbiota on the way, by different dietary interventions or other types of interventions.
You think it's a good idea to give babies, when you're moving them to solid foods, a broad spectrum probiotic type supplement, or maybe just feeding them kefir and fermented foods that are well known to have be high in probiotics?
I think in general it's good to have lactic acid bacteria in your diet, especially if you also drink milk, because they will help you digest the milk.
Mm-hmm.
I think fermented food in general is a good thing. There's quite a lot of evidence for that. So I guess that's a careful yes.
Yeah, I understand. You have to be careful. I understand.
But I would also say that just having a complex food, having eating a variety of things is generally good.
Yeah, I agree. Listen, I put you on the spot with that one. I understand. I'm just curious. That's all. I just wanted to see if you had any personal opinions. But I understand that you have to be careful about what you say, because people will take it as a prescriptive advice or something like that. So
exactly. I mean, I eat a lot of yogurt in my home, and I give a lot of yogurt to my kids. And that's also yogurt containing various types of probiotics. But that being said, I think that the evidence for given specific probiotic strains to have a major effect are maybe not really that strong. However, effects of benefits out of lactic acid bacteria as such are quite well established.
Yeah,
whether it's one specific probiotic strain or the other one is maybe not as clear. But I mean, they are, most of the probiotics, at least the ones we buy in my country here, they are selected based on an expectation of a beneficial effect. And the other ones that are present in fermented food, they are not to the same extent studied. So we don't know about their beneficial effects. So I would like to select the things that I know something about.
What are you planning any future studies as a result of the data that's already been collected from this cohort?
Yeah, we actually we have another study which is where we followed children of born of obese mothers. It's the people at Copenhagen University that we were also collaborating with on this study. And the next step will sort of be comparing some of the microbiotas from this study, which was from children of normal weight mothers, to compare that, those to children of obese mothers to see if we can see differences in the microbiota.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, but it's going to take a couple of years before we have results for that.
Okay, so we'll book you now for 2 years from now, okay?
Yeah, well.
I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Well, you're welcome.
Take care.
You too. Thanks.
All right, stay tuned. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with listener comments and questions. We got some things to talk about.
He's Carl Lenore.
The brainless people at the FDA need to be convinced that arsenic is not good for humans to consume, because the FDA feels a little bit more research needs to be done before we're considered that this particular arsenic is dangerous.
Only on Superhuman Radio.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergent, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good people will comment about it. Right now you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. 1-4936 wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Do you avoid protein powder because it upsets your stomach? Want a protein powder with zero fat and lactose free? Look no further. Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Pure Whey Isolate delivers 25 grams of pure whey without any of the fat or lactose. And for a limited time, you can get a 25 pound bag of Pure Whey Isolate for only $187. That's Whey Isolate for $7 a pound. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge Nutrition banner ad and use coupon code SUPERHUMAN today.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Mr. Bombastic is back.
We order some bombastic romantic.
Oh, it's a wonderful day. I got to the gym. I trained hard today. That darn Ed Rusher, he's got me doing 10 sets of 10, 8 sets of 12. I did 8 sets of 12 today. I am just hammered, man. I don't know. He's destroying me. He's going to be back on the show very soon. to talk about his own form of what he calls the abridged Bulgarian. You know, nobody has time to train the way the Bulgarians do. Let's face it. The Bulgarians would go to the gym in the morning for an hour, and they'd leave for a few hours. They'd go back for an hour. They'd leave for a few hours. They'd go back for, I mean, they would go to the gym two or three times a day, to get as strong and as they were. But those of us who have lives and jobs, we can't do that. So how can we take advantage of the Bulgarian training and do it in a single session? And Ed Ruscha is living proof that it can be done, and he will be back on the show to talk about that. All right, we got a couple questions and comments that I want to go over real quick. The first one comes from, let me find it here. I think this is Dan Rollins, believe it or not. He says, hey, Carl, a client of mine took advantage of Muscle Gauge Nutrition's whey sale. He said it came in a bag with a zip tie. Is that normal? I would say yes. For a 25-pound bag of whey protein, 25 pounds, I would say yes, it comes in a plastic bag. Now, I know that companies like True Nutrition, they will ship stuff in plastic bags with tie wraps or zip ties, unless you want it put in jugs. But then if you wanted it put in jugs, it's going to have to be a few different jugs to hold 25 pounds. So I would say that is normal, especially at that ridiculously low price of like $7 a pound for whey isolate. So hope that answers that question. The next one comes from Ken. I want to pronounce your last name right. It's Bakely, B-A-K-E-L-Y. And this is actually something I've gotten from a few different people so far. He's, Carl, I just had a suggestion for your new Android app. I was wondering if in the future you could put an option to download the podcast. I realize I can go through iTunes for this, but it'd be really easier to just download it directly on my phone since I do have Android. Thanks. P.S. Love the show. Been a longtime listener. Yes, we are going to work on that. I'm actually trying to find somebody right now to help me with the app. I got the app to where it is, but I need a little help with it just because of time constraints. It's not that I couldn't figure it out, but I just don't have the time to sit there and poke around with it and figure it out. So, yes, we are going to add that as a feature, and several people have asked for that. It will download the file like Instacast does. So it'll be on your phone, and you can listen to it whenever you want. We've already fixed the problem where you don't need a Wi-Fi to stream the app, stream the podcast any longer. We figured out what the problem was. People's phones have settings for each of their apps. You have to go into the app setting for the Superhuman Radio Network app and say that you want to be able to stream over your cellular provider. Otherwise, it defaults to Wi-Fi because it's trying to keep you from using too much bandwidth and obviously where you're charged for it. So that's been fixed, but we'll figure out how to get the files downloaded. The next one comes from David Thompson. David says, hey, guys, thanks for the amazing show you guys do every week, jam-packed with content that can and will change and save lives as well as families. I listen to the podcast every day and take notes when I can. Anyway, I've heard you mention in the last couple shows about your pollen allergies kicking up. Yes, they are. And even though it's as cold as hell out here, I'm still having it. In fact, Elliot's in the studio today producing my show for me, right? So he's sitting where I normally sit, and I have a little button where I can kill my microphone every time I want to cough or clear my throat or blow my nose, and I'm on the air. And I think sometimes you guys hear it in the background when Elisa's here because I can't kill her mic while she's talking when I'm doing it. And I was so worried about doing today's show, but luckily, I don't know why, it's not bothering me today. But yes, you're right. It is kicking up. He says, well, I just wanted to say that I have the same issue, and it would be awesome if you guys can bring someone on to talk about combating this. It's a pain when spring is in the air. It's a pain in the royal butt over here in Sweden. And spring is early this year already, 15 degrees here. So the trees are flowering like mad. You guys do an amazing job. Thank you and keep moving forward. David Thompson from Sweden. That's wonderful. You know what? We have a long winter here. It's still snowing. It snowed last night, actually. But go figure, my allergies are still bothering me, even in light of the fact that we still have winter going on here. Let's see here. I got another one. I got something that I'm really proud of I want to find. Hold on a second. So you know, everybody knows Adele Musa. Adele is a brilliant person who not only teaches physics in Germany, in Munster, Germany, but also does the Subversity blog. And more people have said they can't believe how much information that Adele puts out on a regular basis. And the reality is that I happen to know that Adele does most of his writing one shot. He doesn't reread it. He doesn't edit it because he has so little time between working on his own thesis, teaching at the university, grading papers. He has active family duties. On top of all that, he writes day in and day out for the Subversity blog. So recently, he published a study that was talking about the fact that men who maintain their muscle mass to the age of 55 and women to the age of 65 have a much lower rate of death. And he said in the article, for those of you who've been listening to my friend Carl Lenore on Superhuman Radio know that he says muscle is metabolic currency. And I've been saying that for 9 years. So I sent him an email and I thanked him for mentioning me. He said, "No reason to thank me for crediting you. I guess you really don't realize how much I've learned from listening to your show and yourself over the years. That's really where I learned many of the basics and found the inspiration to dig deeper. Your friend Adele." Getting a compliment like that from Adele Musa would be like, I don't know, pick it, you know, Albert Einstein sending me a compliment on my understanding of physics. You know, it's like, really? I'm going to have that framed, actually, and put in my house because it's really inspiring to me to think that he feels that way. But anyway, for those of you who have never read Subversity, you have to just go to subversity.com. And every single day, Adele puts out information that the top health gurus in the industry read. They may not admit it. They may act like they get some of these thoughts on their own after reading his blog. But trust me, they, for the honest ones out there, they do admit it. In fact, I want to say Mark Sisson once made a list of the blogs that he reads. If I'm wrong, if it wasn't Mark Sisson, I apologize. I could swear it was Mark Sisson. He has a very, very popular blog of his own called Mark's Daily Apple. And for those of you in the paleo community, you know who he is. And Mark Sisson made a short list of the blogs that he reads, and Adele Moose's Subversity was on the top. And he said, and I'm paraphrasing because it's a long time ago I read it, something to the effect of, you know, if you've never read it, you're missing out. And he swears that Adele Musa is a robot because of the amount of content he puts out on a day in and day out basis. That's from Mark Sisson. So getting a compliment from Adele Musa just made my year. It could stop. It could end now. Anyway, I really don't think we have anything else to talk about. We have great shows planned for the rest of the week. And of course, don't forget, if you want to try and win 4 boxes of Quest protein bars, like us on our Superhuman Radio Network fan page. Go to facebook.com/ Superhuman Radio Network. If you've already liked us, you're already entered. I think that's it. I think we can end the show. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow. It's interesting what we consider a reason to get angry.
He's a military strategist on health.
Merck, the pharmaceutical company, killed 55,000 people with Vioxx. They knew that it had a problem, and they sold it to people anyway, and 55,000 plus people died taking Vioxx.
He's Carl Lenore.
Why isn't this current administration going, we need to go to White House Station, New Jersey, where the Merck headquarters is, and send them.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most